Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, the hosts of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Good morning. Welcome to Investing Simplified, the show. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, back in studio today. And along with me is Chuck Price. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. And welcome, listeners. Please pick up that phone and give us a call, because you don't want to hear Bo and I talk all morning. So give us a call at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And long podcast listeners and on the web, 877-733-1011.
You can also send in your questions via text or chat at investingsimplifiedradio.com. Well, Chuck, it's great to be back in studio this week, not at home with, you know, alone, one on three, but I am, my family went out to the coast, so I want you and I want the listeners to know that I am making a sacrifice today to be in here for you.
Now, are you heading to the coast as soon as the show's over?
I can neither confirm nor deny that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I would be. It looks beautiful out there.
It's supposed to be, the weather, it looks great out there, and of course, my wife is sending me pictures of the kids out on the beach just to make me jealous.
I'd be heading out of there real quick.
So Chuck, I've been noticing the market's been kind of on a tear. I seem to have read, I think this week the news is that we've had the best quarter since 2009.
Well, after the year-end disaster, the lousy October and the lousy December, the market has rallied back. In fact, year-to-date right now, the S&P is up 13.07%, and the Dow Jones is up 11.15. So that's from the close on 12/31/99. So, we've had some really good market information right now. And, there's really nothing bad on the economy. I mean, if you look at the numbers here, we have the lowest unemployment ever for minorities. We have the lowest unemployment ever for females. We have the lowest unemployment in America. We have over 1 million jobs more than we have people to work them. I mean, I got to tell you, in my lifetime, I don't remember a market like this for somebody. If you really want to work in America, you can get a job. I mean, you can get a job. It might not be the greatest job in the world, but you can get a job. So anybody sitting around saying, I can't get a job, it's only because you don't want a job. There's a lot of jobs out there and a lot of opportunity. So, and this is a great opportunity, too. There's a lot of trade schools and things like that opening up as well, because college isn't for everybody. There's a lot of great opportunities out there in the plumbing, in the electrical field, in the construction field. I mean, look around at the construction going on in this country. And, we talked last week, Bo, about the interest rates. But my gosh, the 10-year rate went down again this week. Ugh. I mean, it's around 4%. And you could still go out and get a 30-year mortgage under 4.5 right now. This is a great opportunity for young people to get into the house you want to get into long-term and have an interest rate that that's almost 60% of the average rate long term, you know, which would be 7% or better, to get something around 4.5, that is crazy.
It's crazy good. And I think, you know, speaking to the, you know, the mortgage professionals that we work with, I know that they're having programs that are sort of in response to that low interest rate and you know, the environment that we have, as well as young people trying to get in houses. I know there's a lot more opportunities if, you know, the big bar for a lot of people my age and a lot of younger professionals is that down payment on a house, you know, is to be able to get to the, you know, the 20% down payment. And if you're looking at, you know, with housing prices here in Oregon, or, you know, Portland especially, and I don't necessarily know about Greater Oregon, but Portland is, you know, it seems to have leveled off. It was going crazy for a while, but still, in order to get a good house, you have to have quite a bit of money to get to that 20% down payment. But they do have programs now where you can go down to as little as, I believe it's 5%, with good credit, with a good job, with good income history. But they, you know, they have opportunities for folks. They're opening them up.
You know, Bo, one of the things we're going to have is in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a real estate person come on and talk. We're going to bring in an expert. We're also going to bring back our guy on reverse mortgages. And also on the first week, the first Saturday of April, we're going to have Sherry McCants call in about nutrition and talk about nutrition. So we're going to try to offer our listeners some other things besides just the two of us talking back and forth. And hopefully Kevin Stege will be out of his hibernation in his cave. In fact, I stopped by to see Kevin yesterday, and I gave him my tax stuff, just like me on time. Anyway, I gave him my tax stuff, and he was totally snowed under. So I know he sent me an email this morning and said, "Hey, why didn't you stop in and talk to me a little bit?" And I said, "Hey, your assistant said you were booked all day. I didn't want to bother you." So I know he's very, very busy. And we'll also be bringing back Taylor. We'll be coming back, a state planning attorney, will be coming back talking about estate planning. So hopefully we're going to be getting on a regular schedule here with once tax season gets done, we'll be back into full swing.
And bring those experts in so it's not just you and me, you know, waxing poetic.
Well, I think it's just great to always have. I've always liked to show the fact that we had a CPA and a estate planning attorney and a financial advisor, because we could cover all the areas that people have in their life that really you need to use a professional. I mean, unless you have just a small amount of situation where you're not working or growing your assets, the taxes, you might be able to do them yourself, but most people can't nowadays. And if you're a young person investing, or even a retired person, you still have to pay taxes. It doesn't matter. So always, taxes are always a big concern for all of us. Estate planning should be a concern. Once you have a family, you really should get your house in order. And, of course, if you're going to get your house in order, then one of my favorite subjects is investing. And then you got to talk about investing. So we like to kind of cover all areas if we can. We can't always have people in the studio at that time, but it's nice to have it live so you, the listeners, can pick up that phone and give us a call, the stuff that's been worrying you at night. And I know from raising children myself, having four kids, when you're young and you have a family, really, the one concentration you have when you have a young family, you're trying to just keep everything together. You're trying to keep your business or your job together. You're trying to keep your family together. And it's not an easy job. I mean, nobody's written a book that I know of that tells you how to solve all those problems.
Right, or they write them, but then those come with their own problems, right?
Nobody reads them. Yeah. Well, speaking about books, we do have some additional books that if you want to stop by, we will give them to you. No, unlike a lot of shows, we don't give you an obligation if you pick up a book that you got to come see us and have an appointment. We hope that you'll take the book, take it home, read it. By the time you read it, you'll understand that we probably are the best place for you to sit down and talk to. So what I'm saying is, if you still want those books, we have books available at the office, Investing Simplified and Retirement Made Simple. So both those books we'll give to you free. And, Bo, we've got some other books coming. You got an order in, and you've got a book, The 10 Biggest Mistakes on IRAs.
Yeah, and it should be coming any day. That's another book that we're happy to have folks take home, because like we always say, knowledge is power. And really, I was mentioning I gave Investing Simplified to a client the other day, and they said, you know, the only ask is once you're finished with it. And they, you know, she immediately said, I'll bring it back. And I said, no. Give it to somebody else that you think might enjoy reading it, or, you know, might maybe get some info out of it. We really believe in getting that information out there. That's why we do the show. That's why we have the books. Is it's, like you said, it's no obligation. We're hoping that if your philosophies align with ours, then you might give us a shot at working together. But, you know, if not, as long as you have the info and we're circulating that around, we want people to be better prepared for retirement.
Yeah, you know, to me, there's nothing better that you could share with somebody than knowledge or a book that you read. Maybe I know a good friend of mine one time gave me a book, and I said, I don't know that I want to read that book. Well, I was happened to be going to Hawaii at the time, and I started reading that book, and I never put the book down until I finished it when I was on the way back. So, hey, we've got a caller on the line.
All right, Henry, you have a question about paying RMDs?
Yes, this is Henry, and my question would be, as the older you get, as you both know, the higher the RMDs are, even if you take out a certain portion or the required portion each year. What do you think about someone like me to take all of the deferred compensation, we'll call it, whether it be 401s or IRAs or whatever you want to call it, paying those off, either take the tax out of the proceeds or out of other funds, and be done with it, not have that heartache every year of the your fund telling you, well, you've got to take $18,000 out or something, and the tax will be, why not just get it over with?
Sure, that makes a lot of sense, other than you may drive yourself up into a much higher tax bracket. And the other thing I might suggest, if you're thinking about doing something like that, is a Roth conversion, because if you convert it to a Roth IRA, it's the same as taking it out tax-wise. It's the same as taking it out. Roths have no RMDs. They pass to your heirs tax-free. They do have RMDs when they pass to your heirs, but they're tax-free RMDs. And if you're the concept you're describing is basically taking everything out of your qualified fund, your 401k or your IRA, and just paying the taxes on it, I'd say if you're going to pay the taxes on it, which it could be high. I mean, if you're talking a couple $100,000 that you take out of your qualified money, that means the government thinks you made $200,000 this year, and that bumps you up into that higher bracket. So that's right. One caveat. But if you're willing to pay the taxes on it, then why not convert it to a Roth so that it can continue to grow tax-free? You can have it invested. You can have access to it, but you won't have RMDs anymore.
Yeah, that's my point. Get rid of the RMD aggravation.
Sure, right.
Yeah, and like Bo said, Henry, the real key there is what tax bracket that's going to push you into. And we have several clients now who are retired who are in that situation. We try to get them to convert to a Roth prior to 70 and a half if we can, because you still got to take your RMD even though you're doing a conversion, right, and you can't convert right. The RMD. But your thought is right on. If you don't, it's not going to push you into a higher bracket, and you can take that money, convert it to a Roth, or take the money out. I would prefer the Roth conversion if you're going to do it, just like Bo said. It's way better because now it's tax-free forever, and right. Free is a good price, right? You know, I always like free if I can get it. So
every dollar you convert, that would be taxable in that tax year.
Yes.
Yeah, but the strategy is sound. And we have clients who each year are taking their RMD and then pulling out additional amounts of money to keep them in a lower bracket, just as long as they stay in that lower bracket, pull out some more money, and convert that money to Roth. And that's a very sound strategy because they know down the road their income is going to be, you know, going to be substantial. And by pushing that money into tax-free, they're actually making money.
Well, the other thing is that on Monday I'll be one quarter away from 80 years old.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations.
So I don't have the calendar in my favor.
Sure, sure. That's true. Well, we're just thinking along the lines of what you were saying. If you're going to take the money out and pay the taxes, then why not get some benefit? Want to be tax smart about it, and also leaving that legacy tax smart, because if the legacy is left in the qualified funds, then your heirs have to take out the RMDs, right? Just like they would in a Roth, but they have to pay taxes on any money that they take out, as opposed to a Roth is tax-free. And they can also, I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but if you have kids or grandkids that you're leaving those funds to in the Roth, when they take their RMD from the Roth, which they have to take an RMD, but it's tax-free, they can turn around and then contribute to their own Roth. So let's say, hypothetically, that $5,000 was their RMD. As long as they made $5,000 that year, they can then contribute that to their own Roth, and then you're spreading the tax-free money out over generations, basically. And it's avoiding that generation-skipping gift tax or a gift tax because it's part of your IRA that you're leaving to them, if that makes sense.
Well,
not that that's the only deciding factor. You just said, hey, I'm thinking about taking this out because I want to get rid of the RMDs. And the only issues are that, you're going to have to pay taxes either way. We were just thinking, hey, it'd be great to be able to put that money away tax-free.
Correct. Yeah, with a Roth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that. And how does that affect my heirs? You said something about it. I guess my brain is too
foggy. No problem. So when you have your money in the traditional IRA or the traditional 401k, when they inherit that from you, then they have to, because you said you're a quarter away from 80, so put you at 79, so you have the RMDs, they have to satisfy the RMD in the year that you pass away, if you didn't satisfy it, and then after that, they have RMDs on that inherited account based on their age, and they have to pay taxes on it when they pull it out. Now, they can take more out, right? They can take all of it out, but if they take any money out, it's taxable, whereas if they inherited a Roth IRA, then they still have RMDs based on their age, but the RMD comes out tax-free for them when they pull it out. And if they take the entire amount out, it's tax-free.
Say that again, Bo.
Yeah, of course.
They still have RMDs, mm-hmm. but they're not taxable.
Yeah, so they still have an RMD on an inherited Roth, just a minimum distribution that they have to take out, but it's not a taxable distribution. Yes, that's correct.
I see the distribution.
Yep.
But no taxes.
Right, exactly.
Okay, Sorry.
That's okay. We've been through this before. I have a tendency to talk really fast when I get excited about something. So I'm glad to make sure that
I don't want to make you
clear.
Excited. It's too early in the morning. Okay, well, thank you.
Henry, great questions. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Investing Simplified. But, to make this show go, we need you, just like Henry, who calls in and asks us a question. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us part of your Saturday. We do appreciate it. And we do appreciate your phone calls or your questions online. Like Chuck said, we come in every week with things that are on our chest we got to get off, but it's always more fun and better to go down the places that you want to talk about. You know, those are issues that we wouldn't have covered if Henry hadn't brought it up, and it's a great question and great options.
Yeah, just remember, you know, with all the thousands of listeners we got out there, there's probably a couple hundred people listening that are too shy to call and may have the same exact concern that you have. And you'll be doing not only yourself a favor, but you'll be doing a lot of other people a favor by asking the question.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we do get excited. We do like to answer those questions because we like to make sure we're providing, you know, content for, to use the buzzword in the radio and podcast industry, but content that you want to listen to, which brings up a point, Chuck. We shared last week, but want to share again. Chuck and I do a weekly podcast on thatcast.com where we try to cover more in-depth topics that we weren't able to cover on the radio show or we didn't get to, or particular topics of the day in a shorter, smaller sense. But it's thatcast, thatcast.com. You can find us there along with about 40 other Portland area businesses that do podcasts.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for you not only to listen to our show, but there's a lot of other great podcasts on there as well. And I don't know about our listeners, but I know for me, podcasts are a fairly new thing for me to listen to. And it's kind of great because I can go on there, and if I see something that might pique my interest, I can listen to somebody talk about it. So I think it's a great opportunity to get information, plus you can sit there, listen to it your own time, and it's great. It's there 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can actually listen to, just to clarify too, the radio show we repost in podcast form on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, Spotify, any other Google Play, any places where you get podcasts. We have replays of our show each week that are posted on there as well.
Yeah, iHeartRadio as well. Plus, you can go to our website at pfgwm.com and also investingsimplifiedradio.com and hear all of our previous shows as well.
So we have a caller on the line. Looks like Jim has a question about a Roth conversion.
Yeah, I do. I was just listening to what you're saying. Is it possible to do this Roth conversion with an annuity that I have not annuitized, but the company lets me take 10% of the value out every year? Can I take that 10% value out and convert it into a Roth?
Okay, you're talking about, obviously, you're not 70 and a half, so you don't have to take RMDs.
That's
correct. I want to clarify that because a lot of people get confused. You can never convert an RMD. If you're 70 and a half, you have to take the RMD first, then you can do the Roth conversion, okay? So, yeah, you could actually take the 10% withdrawal out of that IRA annuity that you're talking about.
That's correct.
You could actually pull that 10% out, have that 10% go directly to another account, a Roth IRA, and do a conversion on it. What you'd have to do, though, probably, is pay the taxes yourself and have that money go straight across. That's the best way because then you get the full value. We tell people if you have the extra money to pay the taxes, then you do the 10%. That way you're keeping that whole amount to go into the Roth. We don't like it when if you have to pay the taxes out of the money you're withdrawing, then you're really losing a big advantage of moving that money to a Roth. So yeah, you could do that.
So do I do it myself, or do I have to do it with the company that has my? Because usually, I just do like a company. It's a Roth to Roth convert, a Roth to a traditional conversion, that type of thing. So do I just take the money out and say, oh, I'm just going to do this conversion?
No,
really
no,
knows.
I think the first time you could do it with a professional advisor like ourselves. We could sit down with you and help you do that because you want to make sure you do it correctly.
Sure.
So we would help you with that. Even if we don't have the annuity product, we'll help you with it.
Yeah,
okay.
And you want to make sure it gets, like Chuck said, gets done right. And you can't, it's not a matter of just saying, you have to work with whoever's custodying the assets or whoever is So you got to work in tandem with the annuity company and with wherever that you're going
to
have the Roth.
Well, yeah, if you're moving that money from an annuity product to another annuity, you got to have both companies in sync on it.
Right.
Or if you're moving the money from an annuity to a brokerage account, you got to make sure everybody's on the same page, because that's one of those things. If you mess up and it becomes a taxable event rather than a conversion event, you're not going to be very happy.
Right.
No, I do not want to be unhappy.
Yeah, that's right. So I would recommend, Jim, that you do that with a professional the first time, and then you can do it, you know, you can either do it yourself or have your professional help you once a year when you make that conversion.
No, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great question. I mean, we're getting some really good questions today. This just proves we've got a highly intelligent audience out there listening to our show.
Right, and good questions, and those are, you know, it proves that they're actually listening to what we're saying. They said something
that's right
on the topic.
That's
today,
right.
That's a headying feeling, right?
Yeah. Jim, are you still there?
Oh, no, I think he was.
Oh,
just...
okay. I think he's okay. Well, that was just a really terrific question, because a lot of people, you know, sit there and listen to the show, and they're thinking of things in their own financial things. Listen, if you've got a question, the best thing you can do to help your fellow man or woman is to ask that question. Because I guarantee you there are other people out there with the same concerns you got. So pick up the phone and ask those questions. You know, Bo, you and I have had a chance to meet with some really terrific people. Some of these people become clients. Some of them, we tell them that, hey, their portfolio's fine. They don't need to necessarily move to us unless they're unhappy with their advisor. But, you know, we try to be totally honest with our clients and tell them, look, either it's good or it's bad, you know. Here's the thing I do want to make sure people understand. In investing, there are opinions and there are facts, okay? And everybody's got their own opinion of how you might want to invest or how you may want to do this or you might want to do that. And I could tell you, if you get this is kind of a joke about our own industry, but if you get 10 financial planners together in a room, and try to get them to change a light bulb, they'll probably have trouble figuring out how to do it, because each one of them will want to take control of it and do it themselves.
Yeah.
So, and they'll each have their own opinion of how to do it. One will say you can step on a chair. One will say you can do a ladder. One will say I can just stretch up and get it done. But the fact is they'll all have an opinion. There's a lot of opinions out there. But what I think is very important to you if you're an investor is that your advisor has a strategy that is common sense and makes sense to you. If it makes sense to you, and it's your money, folks, if you're investing in something that doesn't make sense to you and you're investing your money in it, that is a red light. You need to look at that. It's good to go and get second opinions. We totally recommend people getting second opinions or third opinions. You need to feel comfortable with the people you sit down with and talk. Bo and I try to get to know our people as they come in. We've had a couple of really nice people this past week come in to us from the radio show. Very nice people. We give them recommendations. We tell them what we think. But, you know, it's really important that you, the person who is looking for an advisor, that you feel comfortable with what you're doing, and that the strategy they're explaining to you makes sense. And we always ask people, now, do you have any questions? Because we think it's important that before you leave our office, we answer those questions for you. And I tell people this all the time. We've said it on our radio show for years. There's no foolish question when it comes to your money or your estate plan or your tax liability, because those are all things that you need to be taken care of. And if you have an advisor that will not answer your questions, I know I've got a couple of clients from some other advisors that I won't mention who, but the reason we ended up with them, it wasn't that they were doing bad investments. It's just that when the client had a question, the advisor finally just said, hey, I don't want to answer your questions, just realize what we're doing is the right thing for you.
Right.
Well, that's totally wrong. If that's somebody's money, I could tell you if it's my money and somebody said that to me, I wouldn't be seeing them anymore. I'd be out the door.
Yeah, that's a big problem. The other one that I've come across with a couple of folks that we've met recently has been just a service level, a contact level. They felt that their advisor was reactively contacting them or only contacting them when they had to hit a quota or had to sell something, as opposed to keeping in touch with them and having regular contact.
Yeah, it's really important, and we try to, with new clients, we try to the first year, particularly if we're managing assets for them, we require new people to meet with us 4 times a year. And the reason we do that is we want you to understand your investment. We want to answer questions about your costs, your expenses, also how our portfolios work. We do not want to leave anything to chance. We want to make sure that you understand 100%. Speaking about 100%, we've got a caller on the line that's got a question, Bo.
Oh, yeah. So it looks like Jim has a question about 529 programs.
Hi. My granddaughter's going to starting college in September.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother has just come into a whole bunch of money, and he's volunteered to to pay for her college.
Well, that's kind of him.
Yeah, well, I thought so too. So anyway, he's over 75, and what he wants to do is just give her one lump sum of money, and then he's out of it. And we were just wondering if that 929 program is appropriate, or is there some other avenue that we should be looking at?
So that's a good question. So the 529 program could be appropriate if he's looking to put that money in, and then if you would try to thinking about growing it tax deferred. So conceptually, if we're putting that money in and then taking a quarter of it out each year to pay for college expenses, a 529 could make sense.
Uh-huh.
The big advantage to the 529 plan is that tax deferred growth on the assets, as long as the money is used for college. And if he's an Oregon resident and he uses the one of the two plans that are affiliated with the state of Oregon, he could get a small state of Oregon tax deduction for putting the money in there. Those are the main benefits for the 529 in that sense. The big detraction of it is if she needed the money for something other than tuition and books, then it does get difficult to... The 529 plan is specifically outlined for those things.
Yeah.
So if it was money that he was maybe thinking he was going to support maybe her room and board as well, and or just, you know, giving her some, you know, money to pay for expenses that are not directly college-related, you know, food and different things like that. So
one of my questions is that if after a year she just decides that she doesn't want to go to college anymore, and there's a big pot of money in there.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that money go?
What happens to that money? Yeah, that's a good question. So if you want to, if it goes into the 529 plan, then if she doesn't want to go to college anymore, or trade school, or you know any sort of secondary education, then you either at that point have to find a new beneficiary, someone in the family that is going to go to school, and you can roll it over to them being the beneficiary of it, or if you take the money out for non-college expenses, there are penalties on that. Tax penalties. Yeah, so the big difference between the 529, so your brother, or he may not want to have his hands on it, so maybe he'd name you as the, you know, as the custodian or the owner of that 529 plan, and she's the beneficiary.
Yeah.
So then you can still change the beneficiary, but if she does decide college isn't right for her, or if she gets a scholarship, or you know any sort of reason that you wouldn't spend the money, leftover money has to be spent on college, or there are penalties.
See, I'm pushing 80.
Yeah, sure, sure.
How old is she?
She's 18.
Oh, okay. So this is perfect. I mean, the money goes in there. Pretty much, he could put that money in there. She's going to draw it out over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Right, but
so it's perfect. Yeah.
Except for the concern is if she doesn't go to college, if she decides college isn't right for her. Yet.
Yeah, well, the good news on that is she can actually leave that money sheltered up until age 30, and then she could pass it to another person in the family, or she could, even if she ends up having children, she could actually take that money, as long as she does it before 30, and pass that to her child, and her child would have till age 30 to use those funds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it could be a great program for the family, to pay for college. No question about it.
I was even thinking, what, is there a trust?
Yeah, so you can set up a trust which says, you know, you can basically, and you know, I wish that Taylor was here today, but you can basically make the trust say whatever you want it to in terms of, hey, this money is for school,
yeah.
And if you don't go to school, then it's going to revert to, you know, be used for your kids. You know, there's lots of different levers that the estate, that the attorney can put into the trust to make sure that it's used for what he wants it to be used for. Not that she's a spendthrift or that she's, you know, she's, you know, I'm sure she's a great kid, but you never know.
Yeah. Are there attorneys in town that are skilled in that area, or can any attorney pretty well handle that?
Well, so that's a twofold question. Any attorney, I suppose, could handle that, but you want to work with somebody who works in that area. And
yeah.
I usually look at like a family planning practice or an estate planning practice. Those would be the two that I'd lean on. I know estate planning sounds like it's planning for your estate, but they do trusts like that because they'll set those up when folks are passing away. They have a trust like that they want to put in their estate.
And we could give you, depending on the part of town you live in, we could give you a couple of referrals if you want to call the office. We could give you the names of a couple of attorneys we've used that work in this area, because not every attorney does work in this area. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of them don't do estate planning or college planning. So you might give us a call and we can give you some referrals that you can talk to.
We're over on the east side near Providence, Portland, Providence. Huh?
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, give us a call. We have a couple over there that we could refer to you.
Great. Very good. Thank you much.
Great. Thanks. Great question. Really good question. I think we need to take another break here.
Yeah,
huh?
It looks like it. Yeah, we had a little good questions and we get on a roll.
Great questions. Thanks for calling, all you that have called. And the rest of you, if you want to get a call in, pick up that phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us part of your Saturday or your Sunday or your podcast listening. We really appreciate that you listen. We appreciate that you call in. And we appreciate the questions today have been spectacular. We were just talking about that in the break, that continuing to ask really great questions, really complex topics that I think that, you know, it's been really good to get the lead in for it rather than us just coming up with them. You know, those are good things. And it's worth mentioning, as Chuck said to Jim there, if you have questions about qualified people here in town that we work with, we don't get any sort of a kickback. We don't get any sort of referral credit. We just like to know that we have professionals here in town that we trust with our planning and our money that we can refer clients to. We know, or we can refer folks who maybe not be clients, but if you're looking for a qualified, trusted professional, we just pride ourselves on working only with the best people in town.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different people to work with, and we try to usually give you a couple of names so that you can make a decision based on when you meet them. And, you know, because here's the thing. Some people may not like somebody with curly hair or no hair or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that way you can have a choice.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if they don't like someone with no hair, then we were talking about that this morning. I'm going the right way to be not liked by those people.
Yeah, I think you got a ways to go, Bo. I think you're going to be okay.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, Mr. Urlacher and those plans that I may have to explore here in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For those who are listening, and Bo, when we came in this morning, we were looking at a picture of Brian Urlacher, who is a pro football player, who all of a sudden he's got hair now. We've always seen him as a bald person, but now he's got hair, and it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing what they can do. So it looks like we have a couple callers on the line. You know, we'll go to Cheryl first, who has an IRA question.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I inherited my husband's IRA. It just says on the form that it's a rollover IRA, probably mm-hmm. a traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if when I fill out the paperwork, if I should have it a Roth IRA.
Oh, that's a good question. So if you do make it, if you want it to be a Roth, you're going to have to pay taxes on the entire amount. Because it's, again, if his IRA was a tax deferred IRA, and, you know, I'm sorry for your loss first and foremost, but if it was a deferred IRA, then there were no taxes paid when the money went in. So if we're looking at rolling that into a Roth, then immediately you'd be owing taxes on that entire amount, anything that went into Roth. So what I might explore doing rather than that is to roll it into what's called a spousal IRA. Which is, was your husband over 70 and a half when he passed away?
He was 70 and a half, okay. And I'm 63.
Sure.
And I was talking to somebody about that on the phone, and the person I was talking to, I don't think she knew a whole lot. She just suggested just doing a traditional.
Yeah, I would do a traditional at first, and then you can make it malleable. You have two options, actually, that may make sense, because the first is, so folks may not know this, but when you inherit a spouse's IRA, you can either, if they were over 70 and a half, you can do what's called an inherited IRA. So that way you're taking the RMDs based on his life schedule, or you can do a spousal. In your situation, because you are over 59 and a half and can take money out, I would suggest doing the spousal, because then you don't have RMDs. You have to satisfy his RMD for this year, but then you won't have RMDs yourself until you turn 70 and a half, so you won't have to take money out, but you can take as much as you want, and then explore the options of doing Roth conversions for maybe portions of the IRA.
Yeah, Cheryl, are you in a reasonable tax bracket, or do you know what kind of a tax bracket you're in?
I can't remember what it is right off the top of my head.
Okay, well,
a reasonable tax bracket.
Okay. Well, one of the advantages you have as a spouse, like Bo was saying, and he's exactly right, one of the advantages you have is taking that IRA over for yourself, and you can actually, since you're only 63, you've got 7 years to convert that to a Roth. So you could actually do 1/7 each year for the next 7 years, and by the time you hit 70 and a half, you'll have no Roth, no RMDs, and everything will be in a Roth.
And it doesn't give you a big tax hit. The reason that Chuck mentions that is then, instead of, just for easy math, if we had $70,000 in that IRA, you'd have a $70,000 income tax, not a bill for a whole 70, but you get taxed on the whole 70, as opposed to if you did $10,000 a year over the next 7 years, then you'd only have $10,000 that would be an income that you'd have to pay taxes on, and conceivably could be smaller tax bills each year. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. Okay, so you're suggesting a spousal...
Mm-hmm. Traditional.
Traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
At least at first, and then you're that way you're not hitting yourself with a big tax hit, because if you did a spousal Roth IRA, it would convert it to... They'd be considered a conversion, and then you're going to owe taxes on the entire amount as if you made that income this year. Does that make sense? So if you had...
Right.
So then if you put it into a traditional spousal, there's no taxable event right now. You will have to satisfy, if he turned 70 and a half this year, then you'll have to, if he had an RMD deal, you have to satisfy that part, take that much out. But then your options are open to sit down and say, okay, where am I going to be tax-wise this year? How much do I want to convert? And then you can convert as much as you can, would be great, as long as you're not pushing yourself into the next bracket.
Right. Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You betcha. That's a great question.
Really good question.
And then, so thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for calling. And we also have Lee on the line, who has tax penalty question. Go ahead, Lee.
Okay, I have a family member who just got his 2018 taxes back from his accountant, and he has a penalty because he didn't make one of his quarterly estimated payments this last year. And I always thought those payments were just something you set up for your convenience, and it didn't matter. So how does that work?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish it was for our convenience, but they make sure if you have paid less than 90% of what your tax owed is between quarterly estimates or withholdings. So the estimates are set up because when people work for an employer, they have a W-2. And when they pay you in the W-2, they withhold payroll taxes for you. If you have income coming in either from self-employment or when you're retired and you have income that you're going to owe, federal and state, if you're in a state that has taxable income, when you're going to owe that money, you have to estimate your payments. And between the four payments, they'd like them to be level, but between the four payments, you have to get to 90% of what your total tax owed would be. And actually, the IRS, because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, has lowered that number to 80% for this year because of the withholding differences. But if you don't get to 90%, then they charge you a penalty and they actually charge you interest on the amount that you should have paid. It's a pretty nominal interest rate, but it's still interest that they get to take from you.
Yeah, one of the things that a lot of retirees out there, if you have this problem, and it happens once in a while, but we recommend when you take required minimum distributions or you take your Social Security, you can actually have the Social Security Department withhold state and federal tax. And so a lot of people who are retired for the first time, if they weren't self-employed where they used to doing quarterlies, we tell them, look, let's go ahead and take the taxes out of your Social Security, take state and federal, out of your required minimum distributions or your pension plan. A lot of our clients have pensions or PERS investments. Mm-hmm. We have them take the taxes out because that way you help avoid that happening. And then each year you adjust your taxes right, so that you're not paying in too much as you go, but maybe getting a small refund. And so you can adjust that each year. But it's a rude awakening for people who don't plan or don't work with somebody on planning on it. And then all of a sudden they get hit with a tax penalty because once you get hit with that penalty, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of explains it. So it doesn't matter terribly if you make it in equal payments, just that by the end of the year you have to have paid 80% or 90% of your taxes due.
Yeah, the rule of thumb that I usually recommend people to use, and I wish Kevin was here to give you the rule of thumb, but that we've always looked at is if you look at last year's total tax owed, it's on your 1040. I don't know what line it is on the new 1040, but where it says total tax owed. And if you look at last year's total tax owed, as long as you're paying quarterly estimates on that amount, then you're okay too. If you hit 100% of last year's, so you could estimate based on that. That way, okay, so we owed $1,000 last year, so we need to pay $250 a quarter. And they spread the quarterly out because they assume you're making the same amount of money over each quarter, but for folks that are taking bigger distributions out of their retirement plans, that may be different. So, but if you're looking at that way, you don't have to necessarily do a tax allocation, but your CPA would also be able to tell you if you're working with a CPA to say, hey, this is how much you should pay in quarterlies this year.
Okay. Also, while I was waiting and I was listening to you talk to the previous person, the thought occurred to me that some of these people, if they take out roll over too much, they end up with $85,000 and more. They'll end up having to pay extra for their Medicare.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point, is they'll have Medicare. And then the hardest part about that, right, is you don't have to pay extra for Medicare this year. It's like 2 years from now, and it keeps going because they do that look back. That's a great point, Lee.
Well, that's a really good point, Lee, because the lady we were talking to before was 63, so she had a couple of years before she got on Medicare, and certainly once she got on Medicare, that would change how fast you'd want to do those Roth conversions, because you could push yourself up into a higher premium. So you're exactly correct.
Yeah, higher tax bracket and higher Medicare.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thanks for your show.
Yeah, thanks.
Great,
Lee.
Thank you. Great call. You know, that is really a great call, and it's really great to have somebody like Lee call in who really is on the ball.
Yeah, well, and that's a huge thing that people don't really think about until they're actually on Medicare and until you're making it, especially if you get into the higher brackets. And then if you just have, like she said, if you have one bad year, then that sticks with you in the in the Medicare premiums, the Part B and the Part D premiums.
Well, the good thing about the Medicare premiums, because I will speak from experience, because I've had to pay the higher amount.
Sure.
Each year they reevaluate that. So just because you get jumped up into it one year doesn't mean you get jumped up into it the next year. So each year they reallocate that. So you can have it one year and then the next year get back to your normal rate. So they will go back.
Right. It just it sticks with you because the look back is, you know, a couple of years. You know, the other thing I wanted to note, we've talked about Roth conversions and the power of having a Roth IRA. But the one thing I do want to say is I do believe that there is a big place for that tax-deferred money in your 401ks or your IRAs, because right now you have $24,000 of a standard deduction if you're married. So I want to have at least $24,000 of taxable income, right? Because otherwise I'm losing out on that deduction. And then if you're in, you know, another 24 or so, you're still in a real low tax bracket at that point.
Yeah. The bad thing is, I mean, for most people who are retired, your Social Security benefits,
sure,
probably since you got to pay on 85% of them, most people are going to have income,
right,
to offset that. I mean, so the income, you're going to be there already. So that's why we kind of think that doing the Roth conversion makes a lot of sense for you. If you can do it in your 60s to 70 and a half, if you can get that as much out of there as you can by the time you hit 70 and a half, it's a definite advantage.
Oh, absolutely. And the having the taxable money to pull from, I like to have levers we can pull for clients. I want to have options.
And right now, we have historically low tax rates. And that's the other thing. We have a window of opportunity here. And in our country where politics change like the weather, the thing is, right now we have a relatively low income tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to always have it, folks. I guarantee you, when parties shift, we're going to go back to a higher tax bracket. So this is a real window of opportunity for somebody like the caller that called in that was 63 that has 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect situation for her. Because the next couple of years, we know we're going to have low taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great time to be doing conversions.
It's also a great time for those folks that have large, large estates or large gifting plans. I think we've talked about this briefly, but if, you know, the federal exemption being as high as it is, I think it's $22 million and change or something like that. Even if they go back in 2025 when it's set to expire, and like you said, parties change and the winds change all the time in Washington. So if they decide, hey, we're going to roll this back and have it be a much lower exemption amount, then why not take advantage of that now and start getting some of that money out of your estate? So that way, because they're not going to revert if you've done it under the current rules.
Yeah, and as historically we've had it changed. I mean, I can remember, Bo won't remember this, but I remember when it was $650,000. If you had over $650,000, there was a federal estate tax.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, of course, we all know Oregon has $1 million estate tax, but the federal government right now for an individual is about $11.5 million and $22 million for almost $23 million for the husband and wife. So, yeah, planning right now is a particularly good time because the laws are set up to really help people that are doing that kind of planning. We've only got a couple of minutes here. I don't know. I don't have the clock there, but...
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
A little under 2 minutes left.
And I think we've got a caller there.
So it looks like Michael's talking to him.
Okay. Oh. Well, listen, by the way, if you have questions during the week, you can send us an email at ask@pfgwm.com, and Bo or I will get back to you with an email. We'll answer your questions. Or you can always pick up the phone and call us at 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. And we may not be able to talk to you at that time because we're meeting with clients, but you can get a hold of our staff and they'll set up a convenient time for Bo or I to call you back and set up a phone call appointment, because we do a lot of phone calling appointments.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're happy to chat, happy to help folks out. Also, if there's something that we didn't cover or didn't make sense on the show and you'd like us to talk about it on the show, or something you'd like to hear about, we're happy to hear from you as well via email or via Investing Simplified radio.com.
And don't forget, we do have a West Side location, and at 7105 Southwest Varn Street, Suite 175. You can schedule appointments on the West Side now, and you call our office, 503-253-3000. Bo or I can meet you there at that office, or at our East Side location at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216. God bless you all, and have a great week, and we'll be back next weekend with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Investing Simplified.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.